student learns what his teacher knows, but a disciple becomes what his master is. This isn't about knowing as much as it is becoming. We are embracing, we are being changed by our master, becoming more like Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. It is to embrace, to follow, to reflect who he is. In today's story, Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. Just previously in verse 51 of that same chapter, it says, as time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So you get this scene that there's a certain heaviness on his heart as Jesus himself will live out the cost of obedience. And as he's reflecting on that, on his way to Jerusalem, deep and maybe heavy in thought, he has three encounters. And in verse 57 and verse 58, we have, first of all, the enthusiastic disciple. We might call him the idealist. And he just sort of volunteered. He just came up and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And there's something definite about this. I will. Not, you know, I'm thinking about it. I just might do it. He said, I will follow you. Not only was he definite, but it was so unconditional. Wherever you go. But by his response, we get a feeling that Jesus isn't very impressed. He's not saying, giving a high five. And yeah, my newest disciple. Thank you. Now there's some, by his response, we know there was something very inadequate in this man's quest to follow Jesus. When Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's an interesting way to respond to this man. And by the answer, we know where the limitations were on this man's discipleship. It was just to be a convenient thing. He'd heard about the miracles. He was astounded at the teachings. Probably witnessed a demon being cast out. And he says, Lord, I'm all in. I love what I see. I'm in. But it was such surface stuff. Jesus knew he hadn't counted the cost of dying to self and dying to the world. You know, it's very easy to suddenly just have a feeling and make some decisions based on that feeling. But have we counted the cost of following Jesus? And so when he said this, that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Do you know that you and I have been called to follow someone who was homeless? Jesus never owned a home, never had a condo, didn't have a car, didn't even have a computer, had no pension, no retirement benefits, no investments of any kind. He left all his glory behind and he came and he walked on this earth and he owned nothing. And he said, I want you to have that cost, that obedience in your life. You want to be my disciple? That's what it's going to be like. It's going to cost you as well. There are benefits to following Jesus. Absolutely. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's what he's saying. And Jesus isn't looking for thrill seekers or good time Charlie people. He's looking for people who are willing to count the cost and follow, even if it means you won't have a pillow to lay your head on. And so it speaks to the enthusiastic, the idealist disciple who really hadn't thought it through at all. And I love the words of Corrie ten Boom. She says this, a true disciple, she says, has shallow tent pegs. Why shallow? Because we're always moving on. We're not attached to this world. We have shallow tent pegs. Our roots are in Him and His kingdom. After addressing this man with enthusiasm but a shallowness, another man who he actually calls, and he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Wow. That doesn't sound very caring. Did he really mean that? We know by Jesus' answer, his response, that this man obviously wasn't all in. I don't think his dad at the moment was dead, because if his dad had just died and needed to be buried, this man wouldn't have been there right there. But I think what this man was saying is, you know what? Could I hang around till my dad has died and I take care of all the estate and the affairs? Once that's all over with, then I will follow you. Talk about looking for convenient faith. And for Jesus to say, let the dead bury the dead, what in the world does that mean? Probably what he meant is, let those who are spiritually dead, let them bury the dead. But those who are spiritually alive, their purpose is not to go bury the dead. Their purpose is to go raise the dead. You go preach life, the kingdom of God. That's what you need to do. Don't hang around till everything is in order at home and it's convenient then to leave. If that's what you're looking for, you'll never come. It will never be convenient enough. There will always be some reason at home to stay around. And so he speaks to the matter right to the heart, right there. He's not looking for excuses. Someone who's real and who's counting the cost. Ray and I are aware of several young people from our churches in the past who expressed that they felt there was a call on their lives. And they, in their heart, and even verbally, they said, you know, I feel that I should be doing this and God wants me to do this. And we are aware of a couple of situations where the parents said, no, we have other plans for you. The one, especially the dad, was a professional making a lot of money. And he said, no, my son will follow my profession and he will make a lot of money, but he then can give lots of money to the church. That was his way around. And as a result, his son never went into the ministry, even though he felt that's where he was called. And his son caved in to his dad. I think his life is greatly shortchanged, because he stayed home when he should have gone out. There was the enthusiastic disciple. There was this reluctant disciple who, well, once things are all done at home, then I'll leave. And it's not that Jesus doesn't care about homes and families and burials and death. That's not the question here. But don't let all those things sidetrack you from what is real, what is necessary. Then there's one other person. I would call him the divided disciple. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And I find it interesting. Two out of the three guys had family-related issues that held them from going all in with Jesus. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us as parents? I know that when our daughter and her husband first felt called and went to India, and there's that tug, oh my goodness. My girl is going to Africa to be a missionary. And as a dad, to let go and to come to that point where you say, you know what? Isn't that why I raised her? You know, we could have said, well, hey, we have three sons and one daughter. Could the daughter stay home? Maybe just one of the boys go? But it's the daughter that went. And for us to let go and say, Lord, we don't own them, you do. And just let them into His will and His care. What a freedom there is. And God looks after the rest. He really does. He really does. But here's a case of a man who had a divided loyalty. Lord, first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When you're a farmer and you don't have GPS, you know how important looking forward is. I remember starting in a field, putting the cultivator down. Dad said, okay, I don't want you to go straight. I want you to go at an angle. We've got too many furrows here. We've got to change direction. Okay. So you turn the tractor a bit and you spot a fence post or a hydro pole or something. And then you look, okay, now I'm going to start a new furrow. And I'm going to do the rest of the field going this way. So you're going that way. That's fine. One year, I started going the other way and I saw a cow. So I decided I would follow that cow. You know what happened. They say the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Well, I didn't have a short distance, I'll tell you. I just kind of, that cow was slowly grazing and I was slowly just following it. And as a kid, I wasn't really tuning in. You know, you're just kind of, okay, I'm trying to go straight here. And you come to the end of the row and you go, oh man. And of course you do it because you want to impress the neighbors. All the neighbors drive by and they always look to see how straight you can cultivate, you know. How straight can that cedar go? And you're always comparing. And there was one farmer, he was always dead on. I'm going, how did he do that? How could he be so straight like an arrow? We know how important it is to look ahead. If you want to do things right. Here's a man who had divided loyalties and had the temptation to continue to look back at his whole life. And Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you want to keep looking back. I don't need weekend warriors. I need disciples who are all in, who want to be like me. Well, quickly, you know, time is just going. I need to just compress this into a couple of observations for us to go home with. Here are some closing thoughts based on this story on the call to be His disciple. Number one, following Jesus is more important than personal comfort. It's based on Jesus' first response. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Don't expect this just to be a life of comfort. You want to be a disciple? It may be at the cost of personal comfort. Secondly, following Jesus is more important than family ties. I know you're touching on a touchy issue when you say that. But Jesus is more important than family. And if Jesus wants you to be with family, then stay with family. But when Jesus calls and says, are you willing to make me more important than your family ties? At that point, we have to make a decision. Came across a letter written by a young couple, a young gal. This is the letter she wrote to her pastor. This is part of it. Dear pastor, we are scheduled to leave in a few months for the mission field. To be quite honest, It's kind of overwhelming right now. We're under so much pressure. We're under emotional pressure, leaving behind family, friends, our country. We're under financial pressure, trying to purchase numerous items for a trip, raise thousands of dollars for support, and just handle day-to-day expenses of living. And then we hear comments that really cut us, like, why would you take those precious babies so far away from your grandparents? Do you know how that cuts us? We have to be so careful that in all respect to parents, everyone, and we are to respect them, but if Jesus calls us for something, don't let that hold you back. Because if they're at all godly parents, that's what they really want. They want you to be obedient and step out for His kingdom. That's why we have family in the first place, to be arrows for the kingdom of God. Thirdly, following Jesus is more important than the approval of others. You can't be just a weekend warrior or a part-time disciple. Part-time with the church and Jesus, and the other part-time with the other half of your life that doesn't honor Him. Jim Elliot, who gave his life way down south, the Aqua Indians who took his life. But before he went, he wrote this article called, Am I Dangerous? Quote, we are so utterly ordinary, so commonplace, while we profess to know a power the 20th century cannot reckon with. We are all sideliners, coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers while content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. We are spiritual pacifists, conscientious objectors in the battle to the death with the principalities and powers in heavenly places. The world cannot hate us because we are too much like them. Oh God, make us dangerous. God, make us dangerous. I close with this illustration. President Lincoln, when he would travel across the great country, would sometimes attend a midweek service at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church and listen to a Dr. Gurley preach. And after a particular sermon one Wednesday evening, the president's aide turned to Lincoln and asked him if he liked the sermon. And Lincoln replied by saying he thought it was well thought through, powerfully delivered, and very eloquent. And so the aide said, so, you thought it was a great sermon? And Lincoln replied, no, it failed. It failed because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something great. When you step out for Jesus, He's asking you to give your all. To give your all and to hold nothing back. As we, as the Lord's disciples, go back into our community this week, may there be a new consciousness that we belong completely to Him. Don't let anything hold you back from stepping out completely for Him. Let's stand in a word of closing prayer together. There's a sense in which, Lord, all of us are rookies. We're not where we should be. Our commitment to You is continually challenged. Sometimes we win, we're obedient. Sometimes we fall and fail. But even in those times, we thank You for Your faithfulness. and that you continue to give us new starts. You're the God of new beginnings. And God, today, do a new work. And even that suddenly, as Henry and Dawn just stood up and said, I need to make this declaration. God, that we will continually have that yes spirit, each one of us. For Lisa, for Braden, for Grant, and for all of us, that we will be faithful because you are a God who can do all things for your glory. And so as your disciples, we again cast ourselves into your care and your ways. May your will be done as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.